Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There's some breaking news right now regarding L'Jarius Sneed. A statement from his agent. Sources tell Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero that Sneed was not arrested but merely detained for question. The Minden Police Department said that there was an investigation that was ongoing. Quote, a random and unnecessary act of violence occurred while Mr. Sneed was visiting his hometown. No one was injured, but gunshots damaged his vehicle. He was briefly questioned and released without incident. There is a $5,000 reward for information that leads to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons responsible for the act. Please contact the Minden City Police Department Detective Division with your information. We don't have to spend way too much time on this, but I was listening to a podcast a couple of weeks ago, and they were talking about acts of violence, Rob, that happened against rappers, where if you think about a lot of the rappers who were killed, a lot of them are typically killed very close to where they grew up and where they live. You made it out of that situation. Not everybody around you made it out of their situation. And there is a lot of jealousy and animosity towards you for your level of success. You show up there. You got the nice car. You got the rims. All the girls trying to holler at you. You got the jewelry on. And you're riding around this small town. Makes you a very easy target for these kind of things. Now, I don't know anything other than what I read. But thinking of what I heard on that podcast and then thinking Sneed is back in his hometown, a random and unnecessary act of violence, sounds to me like folks just started shooting towards his car is what it sounds like to me. I'm putting two and two together here. He's back in his hometown. No one was injured, but gunshots hit his car. He was briefly questioned and released without incident. They don't think that he was the one doing the shooting. They think he was the one potentially being shot at. In this scenario, as much as you want to go back and give to your neighborhood and go look out for your folks in the hood, man, sometimes you can't do that. It's scary. Man, back, man, trying to see his peoples, trying to see his mom, his cousins, whoever. Sound like they just started shooting at his car. That's how it reads to me. Now, we'll see how this investigation continues, but it does not sound like L'Jarius Sneed was involved in the shooting part of it. Sounds to me like he was the one being shot at in this scenario. Earlier this week, Brett Veach went on the Rich Eisen show, and I think he told us the plan not only for this season, but also for next offseason. Here's Brett Veach on the Rich Eisen show.
It just made sense for us to entertain this trade, and when we realize that we can get multiple picks, a 1, 2, 4, 4, and a 6, that this would be a way to hit draft in receiver, throw a ton of resources on the defensive side of the football, and then also infuse money back into the cap, both in the short and long term, so that next year we can be a player in free agency. And so this route that we decided to take, it really opened up what we think are many avenues to improve the roster over the next few years.
So that was Brett Veach on with Rich Eisen talking about them being players next offseason. to your point, Rob, about the bill coming due. Now, you might value seventh round compensatory picks more than I do, but I think you and I have a general fundamental understanding of how the NFL works in this regard. You can pay some people, you just can't pay everybody. And eventually, you have to make the determination of who is worth paying and who's not worth paying. The Chiefs chose Joe Tooney. That means at some point, you got to tell somebody else no. It would seem that they have chosen Orlando Brown. You trade a first-round pick for him. You didn't trade him this offseason. You are negotiating a long-term deal. Your hope is that you have him locked into a long-term deal. That tells you that you got to say no to someone else. So this offseason, when the Chiefs are going through and they're determining, well, who are they going to pay? Well, we've paid our quarterback. We've paid our tight end. We just paid Justin Reed. We got other big contracts coming up. We just were talking about Snead. I know it's a weird transition from his very serious incident to this, but Snead hasn't touched real money yet. He's 12 months away from it. Snead is going to be the number one corner on a playoff team in a contract year. If he goes out and performs to the level that many of us think that he can perform, L'Jarius Sneed could get $15 million a season at the end of this year. $17 million a year at the end of this season. And if you're the Chiefs and you're sitting there thinking about it and you're like, oh, okay, well, if we say yes to Tyreek and we also want to keep some of our own guys, are we going to able to be players in free agency as well? Well, the answer probably then is no. You're probably not going to be able to say yes to all your guys and also be able to be a major player in free agency. I think he just told you the plan. I thought this is going to be the plan ever since they traded Tyreek Hill. I think their plan is, hey, this year we know we're probably not winning the Super Bowl, and we are fine with that. We still have a very good, very competitive roster. But we know that this is going to be that bridge. This is that transition year. Well, next year we have a slot open up because we didn't pay Tyreek Hill. As much as this talk about salary cap, they were planning on paying Tyreek Hill something. They've now let that money go. All right, so we still have that contract slot that's open. Frank Clark's contract slot is going to open up. And I will continue to think that they are doing something at the end of this upcoming season with Chris Jones. They could save $20 million by not having Chris Jones on the team. So either he is going to take a restructure of his contract or he's not going to be on the team next year. It's your choice. He's also going to be at that age where the Chiefs typically move on from you. He'll be 29 at the end of this season. We know how the Chiefs are when it comes to paying 28 and 29-year-olds. Typically, they say no in that regard. So I think their plan is we're going to do the Rob plan this year. We're not going to pay people. We're going to stockpile picks. We're going to do all of that stuff this year. And then next year, we're going to tell Rob to be quiet because we're going to be serious players in free agency. We're going to go spend money on a wide receiver. We didn't really do that this year. We're going to go spend money on the defensive line. We also didn't really do that this year. We're going to go spend a little bit of money at corner, another thing that they also didn't really do this year. I think Veach just told you the plan. The plan is this season, we're going to be tight with the purse strings, and they made a couple of moves, but they didn't really take a lot of big swings. The Justin Reed contract is not bad at all. The MVS contract, not that bad at all. That's all they really did in free agency. They signed a couple of smaller moves, but they didn't really make any big-time swings or deals that really locked them into anything. I think all that comes next year. I think next year is when they take the big swing on the defensive lineman and they go get the Chandler Jones type. They go get the Von Miller type next year. They go get the big-time pass rusher at the $14, $15 million a year because they can do that for the next couple of seasons. I think that's when they re-sign Snead. I think they do something with Chris Jones' contract to give them a little bit of flexibility so they can continue to be major players. I don't think this was their major player year in free agency. I think all of that's next season.
They may be phrasing it differently, and Brett Veach said it much more PR than I will, but it sounds like he took my approach the offseason, a half step back in 2022. You're already ahead of the pack. You can afford to take a half step back and then be part of the grouping of great teams in 2022. but you have now set yourself up for in 2023 and beyond to be 2019-esque type of spenders again, and you can reassert your dominance next offseason. You have Patrick Mahomes. You have Andy Reid. You have a good offensive line. You're going to be all right. You take a half step back this year with some youth on defense, and then next year you're like a rocket ship, and I promise you, in 2023, when it's the offseason, you will not hear me saying pragmatism, be cheap, be, you know, keep lying in wait. I will be pro spending money. I just knew the bill comes due and you have to take a half step back eventually. The Chiefs chose 2022.
Yeah, I mean, the top texter and I are on the same page. Them being fine with not competing for a Super Bowl is insanely frustrating when Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback, and I hate this way of thinking. I'm starting to think that me and that top texter are the only two people in Kansas City that feel that way. That somehow people like, and I think there's a lot of people that feel the way that you feel. You are so concerned with Patrick Mahomes at 33 and not 26, which makes no sense to me. We have no clue what will happen when he's 33 years old. You got him right now in the prime of his career. Now's the time to me to be pedal to the metal. I am surprised that for the most part, I think Chiefs fans have signed up to the belief that, hey, this year we know we can't win the Super Bowl, but it's okay because we will be again. Okay. I just think now's the time to be super aggressive and not 6 years from now. Because you know what probably happens in 6 years, Rob? The exact same cycle. It's the National Football League. It's a cycle. It's every 4 years, there's a cycle. So you're planning for year five, year six. I think you plan for year now. Text line. You would rather sacrifice Patrick Mahomes having a better shot at 27 and 28 to have a better shot at 26. That makes no sense to me. I think there's a way to do both in this regard. I told you guys from the day one, I would have never traded Tyreek Hill. I would have kept Tyreek Hill, and I would have basically done what the Niners have done. I would have did what the Packers did. The Packers did not trade Devontae Adams on the final year of his contract. He played his contract out, and then they traded him. I just would have handled the season, the offseason, differently than the Chiefs have handled it. I would have kept Tyreek Hill throughout the course of the season. I'd have franchise tagged Tyreek Hill at the end of the year, and then we would have started the negotiations on trading him. So I still would have been all in for this upcoming season. Now, you wouldn't have Darian Kennard in my plan. You wouldn't have George Karloftis in my plan. But you could still have Trent McDuffie with my plan. You didn't use any of those assets to go get McDuffie. You could have had McDuffie. And then next offseason, you go find your Karloftis. And you still have the cap flexibility because you didn't sign Tyreek Hill long term. We just would have handled the offseason differently.
I guess where we're just going to major differ is I think even in that half step back year of 2022, the Chiefs are still one of the top Super Bowl contenders in the AFC. Maybe they're not hosting it this year. And maybe they lose a road game in the divisional round to the Bengals or the Bills. Or maybe they don't get the luck of the coin against the Bills next year.
Do you really think they can win it this year?
Yes.
I mean, like right now we're making.
I think they're one of the best teams in the AFC right now still. They might not be the best team in the AFC. They might be third right now behind the Bengals and Bills. But I think you can easily make an argument for them being one of the top Super Bowl contenders in the AFC. They're just not the cream of the crop. They're not them, then the field. It's not Tiger versus the field anymore. It's now a legit AFC. But I think they are one of the three or four teams you could easily say that team has every ability to make the Super Bowl. And if that's your half step back, that's good.
I don't disagree with you there. Like, I don't want to make it seem like I don't think the Chiefs have any chance to do it, right? I guess where maybe you and I are on the same point with this. The things that you typically need to go win a Super Bowl, the Chiefs didn't seem too concerned with going to get those things this year, where all the other teams that you think, like, you tell me who you think the five best teams are in the AFC. I bet you all of those teams this offseason either really invested in pass rush or really invested in offensive skill position players to put around their quarterback. They either did one of the two things. So that's where I'm with you. I think Kansas City is in the mix with the other AFC teams. Buffalo, the Chargers, whatever team you want to throw out there, whatever team you think are the best teams, I would agree. It's really hard, though, to win a Super Bowl if you can't get after the quarterback yourself and with their secondary. It's really hard because you would agree that this year they're probably not going to get the bye just based on their division. This team could win 11 games, they could win 12 games, and still not get the bye because of how tough their division is and how good we think the AFC is. You're probably going to need to win 13 or 14 games every year to be the one seed. That's just going to be really difficult with the schedule that they have. I would also say that this year, more so than any other year, they're probably going to play a road playoff game at some point, probably. It's just hard to go into those venues if you can't get after the quarterback and with their secondary. You kind of got to pick one of the two. You kind of got to pick one. And this offseason, they chose not to pick either of them, and I think next year is when they finally do it.
I'll say this, though, because you're right. Getting after the quarterback and offense weapons are important ingredients in the cake that is a Super Bowl champion. But what are the two most important things that almost every Super Bowl champion has had going into the playoffs? Quarterback, coach. The Chiefs still have those two things. Yes, they're now a B-minus at weapons when they were an A-plus last year. But they're still an A-plus at the two most important things. So I agree. They're not one with a bolt anymore. Conversations on this show of who's the third best team because it's so obvious who one and two are basically dead. The Chiefs versus the field is dead. It's in all those things. But that doesn't mean the Chiefs are scrapping it out to be in last year's Steelers. I think they will host playoff games in Kansas City. Maybe not the bye, but I think they could win the AFC West and host playoff games, and you never know what happens in a playoff setting. They have the two most important things to be a Super Bowl champion, and that's elite coach and elite quarterback.
This is where I disagree with you here. Well, I actually don't disagree. They have the foundation of being a good team. They certainly have the foundation. They have a good coach and a good quarterback, right? If you got a good coach and a good quarterback, you will be good this year. Rob, tell me a team in the last 10 years who won a Super Bowl whose pass rush is as bad as we think Kansas City is going to be. It's tough. Buffalo's pass rush is not this bad. Cincinnati's pass rush is not this bad. The Rams' pass rush is not this bad. So you're right. But we also watch the NFL enough to know that it goes far beyond coach and quarterback. Coach and quarterback give you the baseline of you can win 11 or 12 games with that. But if you got to go on the road and you got to play four straight playoff teams, so you're playing four good quarterbacks, four good offenses, four good coaches, you just need more than Mahomes and Reed. I was thinking this a couple days ago because I'd be on the text. I'm not even looking at it. People are like, oh, well, they went to all these AFC championship games. They got to count for something. That didn't really seem to count that much against Cincinnati, a team who didn't have any of those things going into it. Cincinnati had been to zero AFC championship games, played in zero Super Bowls. They had zero Super Bowl wins. Cincinnati didn't have any of those things. They also were on the road. They also had the worst coach. They also had the worst quarterback. Well, why did they win? They win because they can disrupt what you want to do. Do you think the Chiefs can disrupt what you want to do offensively? The Chiefs can score. It's a great skill to have. In 2022, a lot of teams can score, though. A lot of teams can put up 28 points. Can you get pressure to get off the field? Can you create turnovers? That's what typically separates the 11 or 12 win teams from the teams that can really win the three or four games necessary to go win a championship.
Here's the thing, though, because we looked it up the other day. The Chiefs were top five in the NFL last year with a mediocre pass rush in taking the football away. And they're usually plus minus in turnovers because Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes scheme it up and don't throw it to their team. So you're right, because we would agree last year's pass rush also left a lot to be desired. We talk a lot on this show about how that Bengals offensive line, which is me, you, and three people from the text line, handled the Chiefs defensive line. But they were still top five in the league in takeaways. You figure they'll probably be, again, near the top of the league in takeaways because that's just how Spags and Reid make it work. And I think one thing we're not accounting for in this conversation is this team's pass rush has a higher ceiling than we give it credit for. Because George Karlaftis, while he probably won't be TJ Watt, he also might be more than just generic rookie X. He might be a difference maker. The Chiefs might also have a true number one corner in Trent McDuffie. We don't know. We've never seen them play an NFL down. The draft Knicks tell us those are those things, and the Chiefs made a coup to get both. We haven't seen it, so we don't know. The unknown commodity works both ways. You don't know if that guy is a true number one corner, the same way you don't know he could be a number one corner.
You're right. I'm not counting or anticipating on either one of those things that are happening. You might be. I'm not counting on those things happening. I think counting on Karlaftis to be your pass rush is a fool's errand. Solely based on our own research. That's just not typically where you get it. That's just not typically where it comes from. So if that's what you're banking on for this season is sight unseen on pass rush, I think that's a very dangerous game to do so. I think it's a very dangerous game to do so sight unseen at pass rush. You typically need those guys to have dogs that can get after the quarterback. There's not one player on this team that you feel really confident about their ability to get to the quarterback. Not one. And that includes Chris Jones. There's not one you feel really confident about. That seems like a problem to me. Especially when you look at the other contending teams and the teams that you would deem are the biggest challengers and competitors, they seem to have that part at least figured out. And I would say for the most part, most of the good teams have the quarterback part figured out. They don't got it figured out as much as you got it figured out. We'll give you an A-plus on it. Buffalo's got a 94 on the test, though. Chargers got a 91 on the test, though. We think the Broncos got an A on the test. It's not like you're not the only team that has to figure out a quarterback anymore. They were when they first started this journey, though. Back in 2019, like we can go back and look at their starting quarterbacks. The AFC was very different when the Chiefs made the Super Bowl and won it the year against San Francisco. Look at the AFC quarterback situation. There was a time there where there was a tremendous gap between Mahomes and the other top five quarterbacks that you would put in the AFC. That part's just not the case anymore. Josh Allen's really good. Deshaun Watson's now on a good team, good situation. We'll see. So you still got the best quarterback. I don't think that's arguable. But I don't think you're going into these games thinking at least the other team can't match what we can do offensively. The other teams now, I think, are prepared to get in a shootout with you where there was a time where if the game got put into the 30s, Kansas City just had way more ammunition than you had. I don't know if they got way more ammunition than everybody else has this year. They got way more ammunition than I think probably half of the league, but the half that they got to compete with, I think all those teams can score and all those teams can really put up points. Look at the division. The Raiders can put up points. The Broncos can. The Chargers can. Everybody can score this year for the most part. At least that's what we think on paper. For the most part, we think that all of these teams that we're going to be going up against and competing against, we think that all those teams can score. So what separates you? What makes you different than those teams? It's typically your ability to get after the quarterback. It's typically your ability to take the ball away and do some of those other things. Say what you want about the Bengals. The Bengals could create pressure last year. The Bengals defense was pretty good last year. Really good, I would say. They had a really good defense last year.
They had a really good defensive line. I will credit you there. They had Trey Hendrickson and Sam Hubbard. They had dogs on the defensive line. They spent big to do it, but they had dogs. I'm curious, because you're right, all the other contenders have a pass rush. How much of that pass rush is muted, by the fact the Chiefs have really heavily invested in offensive line? That's, I think, what the Chiefs are banking on. That your team X, Bills, Bengals, Chargers, whatever team, might have the names, the cachet, the whole thing on defensive line. We believe our offensive line is greater and can negate your strength. We think our defensive line is good enough, and you haven't invested in an O-line the way we have. That's also a possibility because those teams can't invest everywhere. The money is only going so far.
Text line 913-576-7610. CDOT, you're forgetting that Kansas City won the Super Bowl with the same defensive line. That season, Frank Clark had 8 sacks. Frank Clark actually was not that bad his first season in Kansas City. He was not that bad. Now, he wasn't trade a first-round pick for $100 million good, but if they got that version of Frank Clark, it would solve almost every problem they have defensively. If they got 3 years ago Frank Clark. The problem with Frank Clark is, and why to me it's not the same defensive line, is Frank Clark has been a diminishing player every year after that contract has been signed. You've basically cut his production in half after every single year. So a lot of this is, well, if they get 8.5 sacks out of Frank Clark and he goes from 2, 3.5 to 8 sacks, and now you put him on the opposite side, completely changes things. Completely changes things defensively with what this team wants to do. All right, coming up on their side, we'll keep a Chiefs conversation going. Travis Kelce went on with Joe Buck, and he told a really good story about the comeback against the Bills. We'll play it for you next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Catch Royals broadcaster Rex Hudler every Tuesday at 3 on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
Read these top two text messages really quick, and then I'll play the audio for you for Travis Kelce. Text line 913-576-7610. CDOT, why are you suddenly so worried about the defense when you wanted them to move up in the first round and try a wide receiver? That's a good question. I've always had this worry about where they're at. My stance on them going to get a veteran corner has always been there. You just don't get veteran corners in the draft. It's not where they come from. Rob, I've been arguing about the pass rush for 2 years. I've been saying, invest in the D-line, invest in the D-line. When Chris Jones called me a clown, it was because I was talking about their defensive line not meeting expectations. Last year, when we were talking about Jaren Reed, my stance on their pass rush situation has been here from day one about that. Now, I still would have gone and go get Jameson Williams, but... And the next text is, CDOT, we believed in you when you were the other guy on the Danny Parkin show. Pay it forward and believe in these young guys. First off, the first part, believe, very, very many of you were on my side when Danny left. It was not like, oh, you'll figure this out. No, it was not a whole lot of kumbaya going on when that happened. That's neither here nor there, though. It's not that I don't believe in their rookies. The odds tell me that George Karloftis will not be a major help this year. Rob is the one that's talking about the 2029 season. I don't even know what the schedule is going to look like. I'm only talking about the 17 games I know they got. The numbers tell us that George Karloftis will not be a major help this year. I don't think he's a bust or a bad player or a bad pick. I think it's a really smart pick. That's what you should do with the 30th overall pick. I'm more talking about my belief in the young guys is if you're counting on those players to be impact players for you this year, typically that's not where it comes from. If you need pass rush, typically, you need to spend a top 16 pick or you need to spend significant money in free agency to find it for the upcoming season. That's what the numbers and the data says. They didn't do that this year. They drafted, I don't want to say developmental because that makes it sound worse than what it is, but they signed a player where you typically don't see the fruits in year one. We agree, Rob? You typically... So maybe I am wrong on Karloftis, and I'll be here. If George Karloftis has 7.5 sacks this year, believe me, you guys will let me know that I was wrong on George Karloftis. But the numbers don't suggest that he's going to get 7.5 sacks. The numbers suggest he'll get 3.5 sacks or 4. That doesn't radically change their pass rush situation. They're still very much in need to do that. Someone said earlier, you're trying to create doubt with the Chiefs. I don't want you to have any doubt about the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are a really good team and should win double-digit games this year. But I think you would be silly to not at least acknowledge that some of the reasons that they got eliminated last year in the postseason have still gone unaddressed. We can talk all we want about how Mahomes played in the second half of the AFC Championship game. They lost for other reasons than that. A main reason they lost was their defensive line. And their defensive line could be worse this year than last year based on the moves they have made so far. It could be worse. So that's where I am. You can disagree. That's kind of the purpose of the show, that you can disagree. But up front, you typically just need a little bit more oomph than what the Chiefs have right now. You need a little bit more oomph, a little bit more punch than what they got up front. And you typically only really get that from spending money. That's one of the things that you can't really get on the cheap. We don't spend a lot of time talking about running back on this show. You can get good production on the cheap. I like Ronald Jones. You don't normally piece it together with pass rush. When the Bengals needed pass rush, they went and they spent money for it. They got Trey Hendrickson. He was a free agent. They gave him $16 million a year. He had double-digit sacks last year. He's a big reason on why they turned their season around. So that's where I am with the team. Again, you guys can feel however you want to feel. That's the beauty of sports talk radio. But I will say that I have been very consistent in they need to spend more on the defensive line. They need to get more pressure on the quarterback. I have been banging that drum from day one. And in the draft, they were never going to move up high enough to really get the pass rusher that was really going to make a difference. They weren't getting Kayvon Thibodeau for this upcoming season. Like, they weren't getting that. They weren't going to get a top five investment on that. That's not what was going to happen. That's just not the way that this season was going to break down. Someone said, what veteran corner is out there that can come in and wouldn't get cooked? I mean, James Bradbury was out there. Stephon Gilmore was out there, and they chose not to sign either one of those players. They decided to go with Lonnie Johnson Jr. and DeAndre Baker. They have both of them. Tried and true. Great track record. Rob's mad they even used their pick to go get Lonnie Johnson. He'd much rather have the pick than the player. All right, I want to play this for you. This was Travis Kelce. He had a story time with old Joe Buck, man. Joe Buck expand. You know what? I'm on ESPN now. They're giving me all this money. I got to do a little bit more work than I used to do with Fox. Here's a story from Travis Kelce.
But the 13 seconds, I remember the Bills called a timeout. I'm looking at Pat, and I'm just trying to be discreet as possible to tell him, hey, if they play it like that, I'm wide open. We get up to the line of scrimmage, and Pat is yelling at me to do it. I'm just sitting there looking at him like, shh, be quiet. You are telling the whole stadium right now that you're going to the ball. Let's just keep our composure. I'm going to do it. I got you. And he was right on the money with it. We were making up stuff on the fly, and it was just that's what's fun, man, is being able to play with a guy like 1-5 and just, you know, make it happen on the run. And just be great when greatness is needed the most.
Rob, let's say 10 years from now, you're looking back on this season from the Kansas City Chiefs. It's 2032. The cap has exploded, but you're still being shrewd with the pennies. They've even expanded the draft to 8 rounds. So you get more picks, more players than ever before will be drafted, which actually doesn't sound like a real bad idea for them to expand the draft, but that's another conversation. Do you think this season will be remembered for the 13-second comeback against the Bills or the collapse against the Cincinnati Bengals?
The collapse against the Bengals, because people always remember good stuff on great teams. They don't remember good stuff on teams that fall short. How often, we bring it up on this show more than most, probably others, every show in the country. Julio Jones made one of the most incredible catches in Super Bowl history. It was awesome. It disappears into the ether. Basically like, oh yeah, that happened because the Falcons blow that Super Bowl. And while that's an extreme example, I think Chiefs fans will look back at Football Reference in 2032. They're going to look back at the 2021 season and say, they came so close. I can't believe they lost that Bengals team twice down the stretch. They're not going to say, hey, do you remember that 13 seconds thing? That's not going to be what memory comes to mind.
I think it depends on if Mahomes wins another one or not. Let's say that Mahomes gets to 2 or 3 in the next 10 years. I think people forget about the loss to Cincinnati. I think people forget about it. You only really think about the what if you don't reach what your potential is. For the most part, I think people have come down from the, well, I think he's going to win 5 or 6 of these. I think for the most part, people probably have Mahomes in that 2 to 4 range. That he'll probably go to a couple. He'll probably win a couple. He's too talented to not go to 1 or 2 more. If Mahomes goes to 3 Super Bowls and wins 2 of them, I don't think you really go back and you'll think a whole lot about the one individual loss in the AFC Championship game, where I think the 13 seconds is much more on the highlight of it. We don't really think that Jordan and the Bulls didn't win a championship when he hit the ELO, right? Like, it's kind of like he hit that one shot in the playoffs, and it was just a building of great playoff moments that we got from this person until he obviously started winning championships. I think it would be the same in this. I think it'll be the same. I actually think it's the 13 seconds. I think right now it's, well, that's the last time we saw them play, they lost. But I think when you go back, and if the Chiefs keep being good, you're going to have another Cincinnati. You're going to lose another playoff game. That's how this works. When you think about it, the Chiefs season, very, very rarely is the Chiefs season going to end and you're happy. That's not how it works anymore, right? If you are a Final Four bus KU fan, I don't care how great it is. If you lose in the Sweet 16, you probably don't look back on the season with a lot of joy. The only way you can be happy now as a Chiefs fan is if your team goes to and or wins the Super Bowl. So you're going to be disappointed way more than you'll be happy. I think it's going to be the 13 seconds ultimately if the Chiefs keep doing what we think they're going to do. If they go to 1 or 2 of these, I don't think you remember this season for the time they lost in the AFC Championship. I think it's remembered for Mahomes continued to show you why he is one of the most clutch players in the National Football League. And I also think for as long as any of us have been going to Arrowhead, I find it hard to believe they're going to play a better game than that one in that place, especially if they're not going to have it for too much longer. What if they got 7 more seasons left at Arrowhead? That might be the greatest game the building's ever seen. I just think that'll be ultimately what this season is remembered for.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.